He had a great future ahead of him as a part of the royal family. His father was a prince in Israel and surely headed for the throne. But one day, tragedy struck in his life. A messenger came with a message that destroyed all of his dreams. And the dreams went down the tube. When they got there, they were saying, King Saul has died on the battlefield at Gilboa, and his son Jonathan was slain, and all the rest of the sons were slain on the battlefield in Gilboa. Run for your life! Surely those that would take the place of Saul will destroy his descendants so they can ascend to the throne. That was the normal thing. That when the king vacated the throne, it was a dangerous time. It was especially dangerous for the royal family, because if there was not a strong man already in place, they would literally kill the family members. They would kill the heirs to the throne so that they could place themselves or their person there. So Mephibosheth, although he was 5 years old, his nurse bundled him up and began to flee for his life. But in the haste and in the hurry, somehow he slipped from her grasp and he hit the ground in such a way that it crippled him in both of his feet. And from that day, to add insult to injury, the man that had lost the dream of royalty was a cripple. And he had to be carried everywhere that he went. All of his dreams were dashed, and it seemed that he was banished forever to the loathsome place called Lodibar. But one day, another king woke up one morning, walked out of his house of cedars, looked over the beautiful city of Jerusalem that God had blessed him to build, looked over and saw all of the things that God had blessed him with. David had risen to a place of power in the whole world. He was the king of a great nation. It had increased tenfold from Saul's time. Saul's time, there were 6,000 square miles. David's time, there were 60,000. He had defeated his enemies. They were at peace with him. David stepped out and suddenly he began to remember a friend. And as he remembered the friend, he remembered a promise. He remembered a day when his life literally was at stake. He remembered a time when he was in the field with the son of the king, Saul's son, Jonathan. And he made a promise to Jonathan. And Jonathan made a promise to him. He said, David, I'm going to look out for you. And if my father's really out to kill you, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to protect you, David. He said, I know that you're destined for the throne. I know that God has anointed you. And one day, what could have been mine will be yours. But there was no envy or jealousy in the heart of Jonathan. He loved David. He understood that God had for some reason chosen him. And so he supported him wholeheartedly. So they gathered into a field in a solitary place. And this is what Jonathan said to David. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 14. He said, And thou shalt only while I live, or not only while I live, show me kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one of them, from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, or he loved him as he loved his own soul. And he said, Now David, I'm not sure what's going to happen to me. He said, but I want you to promise me one thing, that you'll always take care of my family. And as long as there's an heir of my house, that you'll see to it that they're taken care of. David said, Jonathan, you can count on me. And he swore to it. And it was different for David. David was not like other kings. Whenever he heard that Saul died, even though Saul hunted him and chased him like a hound after a hare, he did everything he could to destroy David. But when David heard about his death, he ripped his clothes and fell to the ground and began to cry, how the mighty are fallen, and the beauty of Israel was slain today in Gilboa. And he wept, and he cried, and he fasted, and he prayed, and he demanded the same of the nation. He wept because of that his friend Jonathan and his father Saul had died. And even though Saul had turned away from God, he still recognized one thing. He was God's anointed. We need to be careful how we talk about people. Sometimes preachers make mistakes. Sometimes they mess up. Sometimes they fall. But you be careful how you talk about that. He's still the anointed of the Lord. And he doesn't need our criticism. He needs our prayer. And he needs our restoration. If he ever needed somebody to love him, that's when he needs him most. If he ever needed somebody to pray for him, that's when he needs the most. So he said he was God's anointed. And he wept and he cried. And a lot of things happened. David's plate was full, friend. It was really full. He had enemies on every side. He was being attacked by the house of Israel. He was being attacked by his enemies. He was putting out fires left and right. He was surrounded by alligators trying to find the plug to drain the swamp. He had things going on every direction. Enemies coming every direction. And so David was working so very hard. But soon, as everything was established, he remembered his promise. And he called for his servants and he said, is there anybody left from the house of Saul? Does Jonathan have anybody that survived? And they found an obscure servant by the name of Ziba. And he said, there remaineth one. And then he told him up front. He said, but he's lame in his feet. And that would have been enough for some folks. Because if you're not perfect, they don't want anything to do with you. If you ever mess up, you're out and it's over. And if we have to take a little time to train you, God forbid. If you have to have a little time to grow and mature, we don't have time for that. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. And help us to remember the pit from which we were digged. Amen. Praise God. And so he said he's lame in his feet. David said, all right. He said, that may be. He said, but I want you to bring him to me. Amen. Where is he? He said, well, he's in a place called Lodabar. When he said that, I'm sure David thought, my, what in the world is he doing? How in the world does the son of a king wind up in a place like that? You could ask yourself the same question. The prodigal son did. He woke up one day in the place he never dreamed he would be. In a pig pen, elbowing hogs trying to get to the slop. And suddenly it dawned on him, what in the world am I doing here? My father has so much. Even his servants, they eat well. They're clean. They have a place to stay. They're clothed. What in the world am I doing in a place like this? I have a friend that used to play with some of the big names in country music, traveled all over the country, made a lot of money, had a lot of stuff. He was on a stage one night in some honky-tonk somewhere, and he was playing his guitar, or his banjo one, and he looked up and he saw what was going on in front of his eyes. He saw the spirit of adultery. He saw the dancing, the drinking, the carousing, the leering, all that went with it. And a voice spoke to him and said, "What in the world are you doing here?" He packed up his instrument that very moment, walked off the stage, went down to the airport, bought a ticket to Houston, Texas, went to a church in Houston. Sunday morning got there, went down to the altar and repented of his sins, said, "I want to be baptized." They said, "When?" He said, "Right now." Baptized him, and God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But God opened his eyes and let him see where he was. Amen. You know what? We're all sons of a king. We're all born to be royalty. Amen. But what have we done with our lives? What have we done? I think it's good tonight that we would heed the message of the song, "I give myself away so you can use me." Amen. God, make me something good. Make something good out of my life. I can somewhat imagine what it must have been like in Lodabar when Mephibosheth was there, and he looked out and he saw chariots coming, and he saw the servant Ziba, and then he saw people from the royal palace, and he saw a fancy chariot coming, and he thought, "At last they found me. My hiding days are over. My life has come to an end. Surely they've come to take my life and destroy me." He was in for the surprise of his life when somebody walked in the door and said, "Mephibosheth, King David's calling for you. He wants you to come to Jerusalem. He wants you to leave Lodabar. He wants you to leave the barrenness. He wants you to leave the waste. He wants you to leave this desperate place. He wants you to go to the city of the king. He wants you to stay in his house of cedars. He wants you to eat at his table. He's inviting you to come. And we won't take no for an answer." Strong hands lifted him up, carried him from the place of mediocrity, placed him in a royal chariot, turned around the royal steeds, and headed for Jerusalem, rejoicing and singing all the way. I'm sure that he still had questions in his mind, thinking, "This can't be. This is too good to be true. There's no way that this is really happening to me. This is not supposed to happen to somebody in my condition." And he was still waiting for something to happen when he got there. And when he got there, and they carried him in to the place where David sat on the throne, and they said, "This is Mephibosheth." And they carried him in his crippled condition and sat him down. And David looked down with a big smile beaming on his face. And he said, "Welcome, Mephibosheth. I'm so glad that you've come. I remember your father, Jonathan. He was my friend. Amen. We were best friends. And just because of that, I want you to know there will always be a place for you right here in my palace." And David began to make some promises to him. He said, the first thing he said to him was, "Fear not. Do you know of all the commands that God has given in the Scripture, the number one command that God gives is, fear not. Of all the phrases, he always starts out." I've always kind of thought the angel got a little ahead of itself. when he was announcing to Mary that she was going to be the mother of the Christ child. Because he starts out by saying, he starts with the announcement, and in the middle of it he says, "Fear not!" As if, said, whoa, I got ahead of myself here. Don't be afraid, Mary. I'm so excited about what I'm telling you. God wants you to know tonight that you don't need to be fearful. The Bible said, "Fear hath torment." And we have not been appointed to fear and to wrath. Amen. But God has given us the spirit of love. And so here he stands, and I'm sure he's still fearful. And so David said, "Don't be afraid." And he begins to tell him all the good stuff. He said, I'm gonna give you everything that your grandfather Saul had. It's all yours. You can have his lands. You can have his houses. You can have all of his livestock. Everything that belonged to Saul, now it's yours. Can you imagine that? From a meager existence in Lodabar, and here he is standing in a king's palace, and he's given him riches worthy of a king. And he said, "All the servants that belong to your father and to Saul's house," he said, "they're yours. They're going to till the land for you. They're going to plow, and they're going to sow, and they're going to reap, and they're going to bring you the bounty. And all you got to do is just lay back and take in the profits." And then he said, "You know what? I want you to have everything he had. But if you'll just do me this one favor," he said, "I want you to eat here at my table." Now, there's nothing more sacred than somebody's table. If you get invited to somebody's table, that's a really special honor, isn't it? Amen. That's a really special honor. If somebody says, "I want you to come and eat at my table," and that's the highest honor that the king could extend. Because, see, that's family time. So what he's really saying is, he's saying, "I'm adopting you, and you're going to be one of my sons. And I want you to eat at my table." Can you imagine dinner time at David's house? You talk about some fine stuff. If it was to be found in Israel, he had it. It, whatever the heart desired, it was there. Everything that you could think of and then some was being provided at the king's table. And he even had somebody to carry him in and set him down. And there they were. You could see them sitting around the table. There's David sitting there at the head. And sitting beside him, there's Amnon, the clever one. And there's Tamar, the lovely one. And there's Solomon, the brilliant one. And there's Absalom, the handsome one. And there's Captain Joab, the courageous. And sitting there at the same table is Mephibosheth, lame in both his feet. All at the same table. All eating the same stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. David was a merciful king. And I'm telling you tonight, you have a merciful God. He's inviting you to a greater table than David's. And he said, "I want you to come." We sing a song sometimes, said, "Come and dine. The master called. Come and dine." Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed, and he invites, "Come and die." "Preacher, I'm not worthy." He'll make you worthy. Jesus one time gave us a parable about a supper that a king had prepared. And he sent out all these invitations for people to come to his banquet. And people started making all kinds of excuses why they couldn't come. It was an insult to the king. And so the king said, well, if my friends won't come and my family won't come, I'm still going to have a banquet. So he said, hit the streets. Invite everybody to come. Well, Lord, you see how those folks are dressed out there. He said, well, that's okay. He said, I'm going to have special robes for them to wear. I mean, I'm going to provide everything. When they get here, they're going to have everything that they need. And so he invited people to come. He said, I just want the house to be full. Amen. I want people to enjoy my banquet. So he invited everybody to come. When they got there, they gave them a place to clean up and get washed. And they gave them a special robe to put on. Amen. And they said, and here, sit over here at this place. And I want you to dine with the king here today. My, what an invitation. But did you know that there was a fellow that came in and he abused the king's mercy? Amen. He rejected the king's garment. He said, I don't want to wear the king's garment. I'll just wear my own stuff. The king looked out and saw that and he got a little upset. It's the king's house. King makes the rules. And he said, see that fellow over there that has abused my grace? Cast him out. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, a king has invited us into his presence. But there's a protocol to come into the presence of a king. Now you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. We sing a song, just as I am, and without one plea, except thy blood was shed for me. And we come, and that's true, we must come as we are. How else can we come? We have no righteousness but the righteousness of Christ. So we have to come as we are, but you see, he's provided everything we need. Amen. He's got a place to get clean. It's right there. We can uncover it in about a heartbeat. And you can get clean there. I'll never forget when I was 12 years old and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was the greatest feeling. I felt so clean. I'll never ever forget that. Pray. It was the most marvelous thing for a 12-year-old boy. And I felt so clean inside. There's a place you can get cleaned up. And then he's got a special robe for you. Amen. It's called the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's for everybody. He's got one that'll fit you just right. It'll be the best fit that you've ever had. Because it's tailor-made just for you. God's got Holy Ghost with your name on it. Amen. And then it says, and here's the table. Now, everything you need, it's there. You need grace? There's plenty of it over here. You need mercy? I got an abundant supply. You need some joy? You need peace? Whatever you need, I've got it right here on the table. Everything your soul desires, it's all here, and you can have it. It's free for the taking. All I'm asking you to do is come. All I'm asking you to do is to leave Lodabar. Leave your barrenness. Leave the desolation. Leave the wasteland. Come to the house of plenty. Come to the king's house and the king's table. I'm inviting you. Please come. How can you reject such an invitation? Let's stand together. Amen. I'm saying tonight, God has a place prepared here for somebody. And all he's asking you to do is come and receive it.